flow over 9,000. My girl is over 9,000. My squad is over 9,000. Everything we do is over 9,000. Flow over 9,000. My girl is over 9,000. My squad is over 9,000. Everything we do is over 9,000. Flow over 9,000. My girl is over 9,000. My squad is over 9,000. Everything we do is over 9,000. Flow over 9,000. My girl is over 9,000. My squad is over 9,000. Everything we do is over 9,000. Flow over 9,000. My girl is over 9,000. My squad is over 9,000. Everything we do is over 9,000. Flow over 9,000. My girl is over 9,000. My squad is over 9,000. Everything we do is over 9,000. Flow over 9,000. My girl is over 9,000. My squad is over 9,000. Everything we do is over 9,000. Flow over 9,000. My girl is over 9,000. My squad is over 9,000.
Getting into the issues here. Yeah. Well, I just want to talk about the tyranny. Bill Gates is a madman. He might be a new, I don't know, eco-friendly Hitler, but he's still a Hitler altogether. So I want to remind people, callers, please be calling in. Phone number 800-313-9443. This is the Red Pill Hardcore Radio Show. And I do want to listen. Bill Gates, everyone thinks he's the biggest genius in the world, but I can bring up some points in which he's really not. Either that or he's just an eel genius. So I want to talk about this India chip really quick. Can we play, yeah, number one, Mike?
India's got a huge open defecation problem. If there's not good toilets, then people just defecate out in the open. The kids get exposed. Then you'll see incredible rates of diarrhea. Your water actually gets completely polluted by all that fecal sludge that's out in the environment. A lot of what people use are pit latrines. And the challenge there is that the fecal sludge builds up. Eventually it overflows and you're going to stop using that toilet. I get to India at least once a year because to see the progress here, to talk with partners, there is a lot of progress here in India. It's 1.3 billion people, so it's going to take a long time. But people want to change. Prime Minister Modi, looking at the amount of open defecation, looking at the effects on malnutrition, he goes to all the departments, the different states, and says, let's get going, getting much, much better sanitation. And so this is an amazing time to be partnering with India. And so as we've talked to India and seen this ambitious goal India set of getting rid of open defecation, we said, okay, let's come up with great solutions. For the toilets that exist, we need to make sure that sludge gets taken to a place where it can be treated properly and make sure, instead of just dumping it somewhere, that there's a processing facility that could help with the toilets we have today. So we've been working on a Omni processor. The Omni processor is a machine that renders human waste free of pathogens and turns it into fertilizer. So great engineers working on that Omni processor for today's toilets. We actually had a contest. The foundation brought together all the scientists who have an idea of reinventing the toilet so that instead of having to take the sludge away, you just chemically process it or burn it, it's gone. Now our partners are out piloting these things. So there's a village where a couple of households are trying out a reinvented toilet. The key criteria for reinvented toilet is, first of all, that it can't smell. It's also got to be super inexpensive. A lot of universities and companies came together and showed ideas. One of those was Caltech. Now they partnered up with Kohler and they've got a pilot going. And here the idea is that instead of having this waste that you have to take away, that instead you can use chemical means to completely get rid of the smell and disease-causing properties. And so it's a radical new approach. We believe that a reinvented toilet will become a reality. Once you get great toilets, then you can convince people that they all should be used. The health of the village, the quality of life improves dramatically. And in the years ahead, you're going to see real improvements in sanitation here. And these lessons will help us solve the problem in other countries as well.
The hope is that young kids like these will be able to grow up with good toilets for a cleaner, safer, healthier world.
The Runcorn Speculator.
Well, the genius of this man. Oh, wow. Okay, I just want to say something here. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but we have an ecosystem, and mankind, industrial man, is really throwing a wrench in everything. Now, like it or not, poop, human excrement, is supposed to be a part of the cycle of life. So, in a way, if you have this country filled with billions of people, 1.2, 0.3, however many, and you take a resource, because that's what it is, and you chemically process it to be unusable. Sterile, maybe sterile, but unusable. Now, 1 billion people pooping every day, if you take that off and put that, I don't know, in a field somewhere, a farm, you can feed so many more people. We need GMO crops. How much human waste is going back into the cycle of life in our environment? I know there's some plants that burn it, forever lost to the planet. There's nutrients that's coming out of the ground that will never be replenished because we don't like what happens to it when it comes out of our bodies. Brilliant idea. Let's just starve the planet of its nutrients. Let's chemically process it. Brilliant idea, Bill Gates. I mean, what do you guys think?
Well, for one thing, you're eating poop now. You're eating poop. They're turning food, poop into food now. In New York, there's already a restaurant open. And besides that...
What?
Yeah.
You kept serious.
Yes, I'm serious as a heart attack. And also, they can't use poop unless it's processed a certain way for fertilizer. Otherwise, you get disease. And you need to eliminate that poop. We don't need poop to keep the ground prepared for food. We just need to rotate our crops and learn agriculture. The poop needs to go to a weigh station, a disposal station, and a chemical station and have it processed. You're drinking poop right now. Poop goes into the toilet, goes right back into your drinking water. So if you have a glass of tea right now, you're drinking piss and poop.
Boy, I'm glad I'm not drinking tea, dude.
Yeah,
especially,
I took agriculture in college. I'm going to have to disagree with you on that one. I
think no.
It's a better process in which we
poop,
utilize everything.
Embalming
we're supposed
fluid,
to utilize all of our resources, and poop is a resource.
Everything goes back into your drinking water.
Yes, eventually. So
he's right about that. People think when they embalm a body and they drain the blood and stuff out, then it goes into special treatment. It just goes into the sewer.
When I embalm a body, it just goes right down the drain. You know, right into the city water system.
Yeah. So, I mean, recycling is one thing. So, another solution. Everything can be used. Once again, the nutrients that maintains life on this planet is, in fact, finite. So, it is our responsibility to be recycling, eco-friendly.
We can kill these homeless people and process them. We can do soil and grain, man. Just get all the homeless people up there on that big conveyor belt and let them fall into that grinder.
Oh.
And we could make fertilizer out of them. That would get rid of some of these damn homeless camps around here.
Oh, wow. Okay. I didn't know you were such an elitist.
Oh, God.
Billy knows I'm kidding. Billy knows I'm kidding.
Yeah, I know. Hey, teacher, leave those kids alone.
Hey, wow. Teacher, leave those homeless people alone.
I seen, like I said, the one thing that surprised me a couple of years ago, my daughter-in-law came down and with some girls, and they went through Austin, right? And they called me and said how filthy it was and everything, and that wasn't the Austin I remembered. And when this whole coronavirus mess started, I had to go down and pick up my son, and I passed under an underpass on Interstate 35, and it was Little India, man. It was real Little India. Glad your windows are up and all that kind of stuff. But I don't know. Like I said, if you have to start, I didn't used to believe in birth control, you know, and everything. And now I do. You know, if you can only support so many, and you know it, then why have so many? Because you can use contraceptives of all kinds of things. And like people say, well, the devout Catholics say, well, if you destroy any baby in any way, it's murder. And I say, what if it was never conceived, my friend? not a zygote, not a fetus. It was actually never conceived. Okay, and this young couple that's living in this one-bedroom apartment working at Apple Computer has a one or two children, and as they get up in the corporation, they can support the children, and the children will have a nice life, and then they'll grow up, and they'll have, you know, children to support. But we are overpopulating the planet. And about Bill Gates, I got one view of him. He couldn't make Windows work. How does he think he's going to make this work?
Well, let me just say that he's a multi-billionaire, and he's making $2 trillion off of COVID-19, so let's don't be jealous of poor old Bill Gates and his beautiful wife. I mean, he's got a life to live. He's been indoctrinated. He's been programmed into this particular personage and this particular place, okay? He's been programmed just like V, just like you, just like John McCrone, myself, everyone else. He's been programmed to believe in a certain reality, in a certain way, in a certain concept, in a certain philosophy. And that's what we should be talking about on this show, is higher intellectual things like psychodemographic stratification and, these types of things, sociological patterns and the way people think and consciousness and so forth. We're doing a we against them thing, which is silly. It's like kids throwing sand in the sandbox at each other. We against them, we against them. You know, those people are you. They're just programmed differently. That's all.
Those people are me. If those people are me, then they should have their stuff together and acting.
No, you were just
And it's most definitely something I have to step outside the programming. I deprogram now. So deprogramming ignorance is definitely a very hard thing to do, especially my mentor, who's going to be on the show here Friday. Guys, remember, Friday, you definitely want to tune in. We're going to have Roger Landry on the show. The man himself who is doing things behind the scenes. You guys don't know how important it is that you listen to the show. I know I'm a captain of my squad, but my squad is one of many. And if I'm a captain of my squad, then that means Roger Landry is the head captain. It's definitely a show that you're not going to want to miss. He'll only be on for the first hour. Okay, so call after first 15 minutes of the show if you want a chance to talk to him. I know not many people have a chance to talk to him, so you'll get that opportunity here on Friday. Sorry, I have to do that plug really quickly. and so we've got to deprogram the ignorance, all right? That is what it's all about. Us against them. No, I look at it personally, me against the world. It's always been that way, and it's really a dichotomy that is split up in so many different ways. You can't really, not one way, it's just the correct way. So all points of views always are valid. a unicotomy, a multicotomy, I don't know what you want to call it, polycotomy. But that is the situation, and whatever angle can be worked is the angle that can be worked. I don't know. I don't tell a taxidermist how to skin his cat. But anyhow, I really want to get on these issues. What do we have next? Well, let's go ahead and take a caller first. I know we got James in Vancouver. Let's go ahead and get to James.
How you doing?
Go ahead.
Yeah, the Chinese in China, they don't follow that one-child policy, you know. When they can get around it, they do.
Yes, all right? I know. They also get in a lot of trouble for getting around it, though.
Oh, well, yeah, but they still do it. You see, they defy their government, although their government won't admit that.
They have to pay, though.
See what I'm saying? Well, okay, so, again, India, Bill Gates is in India, being a trash collector. India knows how to do that kind of technology already. They don't need Bill Gates to tell them what to do.
No, they
Bill
don't.
Bill Gates is trying to be... Sorry?
Bill Gates, you're right. Bill Gates. They do. They're experts. They're experts at it. And they know they have their own engineers. They have their own people. Yeah. They have their own academians. Yeah. And Bill Gates, all he wants to do is sell vaccines. He's only there for vaccines. That's all he's there for. He's there to do a little public relations, get on their side, and make another $2 trillion on vaccines. That's the only reason he's there. So let's get that out of the open.
Okay. Have you done any reading of the works of people like Alexander George before?
Yes, some.
You have? Hello? What the United States does is they come into a country and they make these suggestions, and if the country doesn't go along with it, the United States will say, well, look, we'll just nuke you. How's that? Or we'll get you into a war. See? See how that works?
Sure. Sure. You're right.
So, I mean, what am I... If I tell the people of Africa, I say to them, hey, you got to stop having children, you know what's going to happen? The next thing is they're going to come after me and say, no, 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 you got to get eliminated too. See what I'm... This is how it works.
Well, we're in a war right now. North Africa and South Africa are in a war right now, and the blacks are cutting off all the whites' heads and burning their villages down. I've got two producers over there. And they're having hell with the United Nations troops, molesting all of their children and raping their women. And it's a real mess in Africa right now.
Right. I get that. But then... the United States or the powers, they're not doing anything anyway, right?
No, not in Africa.
Well,
no.
Well, there you go.
You know, Africa was once a part of Italy, France, you know. There's still a big debate over that, by the way, even to this day,
Well, the British were there 100 years ago, and they had a lot of it, and they had infrastructure. When the United States goes into a country, and sort of takes over, quote unquote, they don't provide any infrastructure.
You see,
this is the thing that gets me, is that the United States says this and this and this and this, but when it comes right down to it, they don't do jack for the people, okay?
Right.
All right.
Very right.
I just thought I'd give you my 2 cents worth.
Very correct.
All right. Well, you have a good night.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Thank you for your call. Well, oh boy, this is a situation, I'm telling you. All right. So I want to go ahead and just go straight into investigate Gates. So, Mike, if you got that for me, number 3, we'll go ahead and do that one.
When you think about Bill Gates, you probably think of him as a businessman, but there's a very good chance that you might first and foremost think of him as a philanthropist, especially over the past decade or so, thanks to the very well-publicized efforts of the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. But is their charity everything that it's been described as? Are there concerns lurking behind the surface? Well, we are lucky enough to be joined on the program today by freelance journalist Jim Schwab, who had an awesome in-depth analysis of the philanthropic efforts of Bill Gates over at The Nation. Tim, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me, John.
Thank you for coming here. We're going to have a link in the description to the full article, and people should definitely go take a look for a ton of supplementary information. But before we launch into some of the specifics, I am curious what led to this report being put together.
I mean, I think like a lot of us, I've read the headlines over the decade, the favorable headlines about the Gates Foundation, which is so headline ready. Every time they give away $1 million or $10 million or $100 million, we read the headline about all the good that they're doing, but no journalists really take a step back and look backwards at what they've actually done. So at this point, the Gates Foundation has been around for 2 decades. They've given away something like $60 billion, more than $60 billion, 20,000 charitable grants. So, you know, no journalist has really done a systematic analysis of all the work that they've kind of done or tried to draw a circle around that work. So I felt like it was long overdue. And it's something that I could do. I got a fellowship to do it from the Alicia Patterson Foundation, which was lucky.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, you mentioned that this sort of work hasn't been done before, and it's not to say that it could not have been done before. In the article, you talk about a documentary that was done about him, sort of sketching out who he really is. But while some stuff is revealed in the documentary, a lot, including the financial backing of, you know, the organization that helped to put together the documentary, the links that they have with Bill Gates are not explored. And lots of, like, people are being used, and there's no mention of the fact that they themselves have received grants from Bill Gates. Do you think that, I mean, this seems like a pretty clear sort of conflict of interest, but it's one of only many that you document there. Is that one of the reasons that we haven't seen more critical analysis of these charitable donations?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's hard to really overestimate these kind of financial conflicts of interest. So in my report in The Nation, I sort of mentioned just in passing the $250 million that the Gates Foundation has put into news and journalism. So that includes organizations like Participant Media, which produced this documentary we're talking about on Netflix. This is, you know, a 3-part documentary. There was plenty of time to raise critical questions. Whether it really is a documentary or independent investigation, I think, is debatable. It reads more like a hagiography to me. It's pretty uncritical. And as you note, they interview a lot of people within Gates' sphere of influence to try and understand Bill Gates. But certainly to some extent, that is part of the reason why we don't have more critical reporting on Gates, is because Gates is putting money into so many influential media outlets.
Yeah, and you mentioned some of the other conflicts of interest in this article, so I want to give people a few numbers from it. Gave away close to $2 billion in tax-deductible charitable donations to private companies, close to $250 million of which went to companies that the foundation itself has a vested interest, a financial vested interest in. I'm assuming that that is legal, but it certainly seems unethical in some sense. Can you tell me a little bit more about that, about giving charitable donations to corporations that you will benefit from the continued financial success of?
Yeah, so, I mean, there are rules. Congress and the IRS does have rules about this, but it's mainly about, you know, if you and I own a company and we run a foundation that's giving charitable grants to that company, like a really egregious example. But if you're a minority shareholder in a company, like Bill Gates has a few million dollars invested in these companies to which he's giving charitable grants, those rules simply don't apply. So I think that there's plenty of room to expand oversight over this idea of self-dealing. You know, whether there's the political will to do so is a different question.
Mm-hmm. And so, look, I mean, no one is going to ignore that, of course, some good obviously comes of all giving all this money, but it is clear that he and his wife, that the organization, they're getting something for their money. You know, we can speculate about potential financial returns from that, but also he's gaining a great deal of influence in a number of different areas, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's the bigger picture of this. It's not, you know, the argument I make in the piece is not that the Gates Foundation is using charity to enrich themselves or their foundation, although you could argue that is happening. The real issue at hand is the political influence that they're gaining over public policy through their charity. I mean, your listeners are a smart bunch and they're probably not naive about this, but I do think that some people have this idea that Bill Gates is indiscriminately giving money to Save the Children and the Boys and Girls Club to help the world. And that's true, you know, he is doing that, but he's also giving money to the largest multinational companies in the world, empowering them to enter into new markets where they can sell their products, not for a charitable purpose, but, you know, to make money.
For more political news breakdowns, interviews, stories of activism, and me trying my hardest to care about the occasional big celebrity news story, subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/.
Okay, all right. So, there we have that piece of info, and I really think, oh wow, how important that is. That is putting media out there that you're paying. I want a good image. Oh man, I'm just gonna pay some people to make a documentary about me, because I know the stuff that I'm doing, the evil crap that I'm doing, is going to be exposed eventually. Oh wow. I love it. It's pure evil. I don't know. This man's the Antichrist to me. I don't know why nobody else sees it. I mean, other people see it. I really feel it.
He's just a philanthropist. He's just a philanthropist. That's all.
If that's a philanthropist,
that's what philanthropy's all about. I mean, that's what philanthropy's really all about. I mean, he got his start at 13 years old. You know, he started this at all 13 years old. And
eugenicist family, yes.
Yeah, Seattle, Washington. He grew up in an upper middle class family. He had an older sister, Christina. He had a younger sister, Libby. His father was, I think, named William Gates. They called him Senior. Somewhat shy kind of guy, law student when he met his first wife, Mary Maxwell. Bill grew up in a kind of a medium range home. They were fairly well off, fairly rich.
And yeah, we're going to get right back into it after this commercial break. Guys, stick around.
I'm going to have to go in a minute.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.com. www.thepublic.org.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. We have a special promotion going on at Republic Broadcasting. This is a fundraiser for Republic Broadcasting involving the Energy Planner. Mail me a postcard. My address is at my website at thelibertyman.com. We pick a postcard every other Thursday. When your postcard is drawn out, you get to buy an Energy Planner for $215 instead of $285, $70 discount. $200 goes to Republic Broadcasting. You also get a 10% discount on my mattress pads. So get those postcards in, put your name, your telephone number, your email address on there, and when your postcard is drawn, you get to get an Energy Planner for $215 instead of $285. Mattress pads, 10% off. Help us out at Republic Broadcasting and help yourself to get an Energy Planner at a deep discount. It's a win-win situation for everybody. We hope you can get these postcards in soon. Thank you very much.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Is your property a financial burden and causing you grief? Have you tried to sell but can't find buyers? Or are you just too busy to sell your property? Don't worry. We have the right solution for you. We buy properties as is, with cash, close in 30 days, and pay all closing costs. Our service is ideal for property owners who are in pre-foreclosure, have high-end repair costs, experiencing financial hardship, going through costly divorces, are relocating, need cash for retirement, suffering family loss, or have tax liens. Whatever your situation may be, we can help you sell your property and get the money you need. If you own a single-family home or multiple family units, call us for a free consultation at 888-910-1037. That's 888-910-1037. Or visit our website at cashingproperty.com. That's cashingproperty.com. Sell your property fast and leave all your worries behind.
Freak out, yo.
Yes, indeed, we are back. Tyler has to go and see some fam, so that's great. So we're going to finish out the show here, the last 30 minutes. I do know the butcher here has a quick story here for us, and we'll continue on with the show. Go ahead, Bill.
All right, good. Like I said, as a lot of people know or some don't know and everything, I'm involved with the butcher shop, and a lot of what we do is investigative journalism. And about 3 years ago, and I think I got involved in an investigation up in Brigham City, and I'm just going to give you a fast rundown of what was happening because I'm sure the people will be interested. We had a crew up there that were operating out of a place called Lindsay Park there. And basically what they were doing is they were farming children. It was a child sex trafficking and everything. And they were their recruiter was a elementary school principal named Mr. Johnson. And what he would do is he'd pick out certain little girls and then
a woman named Alex Bourne would send out investigative CPS workers who would find something wrong at the house, reason to believe to remove the child. And the child would be removed, and the child would be taken far, far away and never be seen again. Only problem was, is they tried to remove my little girl, and things didn't work out for them. Well, recently, there was a guy living in the basement of one of my houses up there and everything, and this guy capitalizes on extorting widow women. And he took over more or less and all that kind of stuff, and all of a sudden, my wife had all kinds of trouble with the CPS, and that almost interrupted our holiday vacation and everything. Now, I don't name drop here on who I know in Austin or anything like that, but the minute I found out what had happened, I picked up a phone and I called the director of our CPS, which is a good friend of mine, and everything, told him what was going on, and we got involved in this, and what he did was, he wrote a profound text to my 11-year-old grandson called Nick the Lawyer. That says Nick. He's the one with the free beer, by the way. Nick the Lawyer. And it was a very rude thing, which I will not read on the air. But he wrote this to a child, okay? And then in the middle of it, I ran it through our legal people here. I ran it through the CPS. I ran it through the Texas Rangers and everything. And everybody said he committed a felony right in the middle of it by admitting or saying he knew about certain transgressions in the house. Now, truth be known, there's no transgressions in the house. I mean, none, not okay. And they all said, "Well, wait, how long do you know this?" He said, "Well, he's known it." He said, "For 2 years." And everybody said, "Well, in other words, he said he knew of a crime for up to 2 years." But he held it back because he wanted a new truck, he needed money, he needed, as long as you pay me, then I'll keep this under my hat, okay? And then Alex up there, she took this guy as a prime witness. That's her star witness, okay? So I'm just now getting involved in that. Now, Robert Beatty, who got Kent Hovind, the preacher, in a lot of trouble a few years ago, is also a person that works with me in publications, and he picked it up. And then a lady up in Indiana on TV, she picked it up. So it's going to get interesting, and I will keep, every time I call it, well, more I have to tell you about this than I will tell you about it. I'm a little incensed. When, like I said, his text with this child was so rude, I can't read it on RBN. It's that bad. Vulgar. It was sexualized. He tried to talk my four grandsons into beating up my granddaughter, okay? And when they refused to do that, he whipped them with a belt. So such special people. But we always need to, V talks about it all the time. Kyler talks about it all the time. And you've just got to hit these people with all 4 feet. You've got to get in there. And you got to know what you're doing and everything. And I really intend to rain bowling balls on this cat. I mean, I really do. This is, and by the way, they had to rush back up there for a court hearing because he's being put under a restraining order right now. Now, this is the clincher. He's trying to defend himself, saying he don't need a restraining order. It's all lies. Hey, B, he pulled a knife on Puck, B. He pulled a knife on Puck, okay? And little Puck, she's basically, it's like the movie. That's not a knife. That's a knife. And he took off out of the house. And that's all I can tell you right now because that's all I know. But I've got my entire team working on it from London to L.A. And it's going to get interesting before it gets over. Thank you for the time. Let me tell you all that story. It's an upcoming story. I'll probably break it right here on RBN as I find more to go and give you all a few more listeners, but that's okay.
Well, I want to thank you for that, Bill. Absolutely, these people are just, it's bad. Our children, we need to protect them. We've got to.
Let me add one more thing. We were talking about racism, remember? And the first, and I listened to all the patter going back and forth. And in my reading, and even though mine was a lighthearted reading, I made a mention, and I kind of coded it a little bit, and I didn't use
language like the language in the article wasn't like what Kyler had, you know, with the N word.
Right.
But the simple fact of the matter was, is we're Gentiles up there, and if you're part of the clique, part of the Temple Worthy thing, then you're a special class, and everybody else is kind of, well, they're not special. I put it that way. They're not special. And the reason that they tried to traffic my little girl is she was a Gentile. She was a Gentile. She wasn't Mormon. And they would add just a little bit more. They would almost always foster adopt these girls way south around St. George, way south, you know. And then the little girl would disappear, just disappear. And I'm going to give the people of Brigham City credit. When they found out what the Principal Johnson was doing, they literally rode him out of town on a rail. But now they're back and they're still operating. And like I told someone on the phone today, I said, Alex, 3 years ago, I let her go. I got the perpetrators and everything. But I said, I'm not going to let her go again because she won't stop. She won't stop. I'm not going to let her go again. So racism, you can have white folks who are racist against other white folks, you know, and I mean bad racism.
Well, in the name of greed, you know, greed knows no color, I think, but absolutely. And the children, I want to connect.
You know, something else, I'll let this out to the audience, and this is just okay. Greed. I'm going to let this out in praise of you. I say this on a lot of your shows and everything. My grandchildren have listened to V on the air a lot, and Puck has talked to him on the air, okay? And they can't wait to meet him. Can't wait to meet him, okay? So maybe this next generation might be a little more refined than what we have to put up with in our lives.
That is the hope. Absolutely. Well, before we run out of time, I definitely just want to tie in everything that we're talking about. So we have someone who's responsible for our health and our children, next generation. But this person has been hanging around somebody that he should not have been. Let's play that last clip, please. Mike?
Jeffrey Epstein may be dead, but this story isn't. A shocking new report from the New York Times sheds light on the connection between Microsoft founder Bill Gates and the late Jeffrey Epstein. After Gates' name came up in connection with Epstein and MIT Media Lab, Gates gave a statement to the Wall Street Journal where he insisted he did not have any business relationship or friendship with Epstein. But new reporting from the New York Times outlines numerous meetings between Gates and Epstein and a conversation with Bill and Melinda Gates' foundation, a connection between their foundation and J.P. Morgan to set up a charitable fund that would financially benefit Epstein. You know what I want to know? Why? Joining me now, one of the New York Times reporters from this story, James B. Stewart, who is also the author of a new book I highly recommend, Deep State, Trump, the FBI, and the Rule of Law. Let's start with this. Gates says, no relationship, nada, nothing. You report these two men met at least six times. What does Gates say about that?
Well, I believe that there were more, and he and his spokespeople would not say how many in total they actually met. But this included visits to the mansion, seeing each other in Seattle, flying on Epstein's plane, when we all know Bill Gates has his own $40 million plane. And then, as an investigative reporter, why would Gates say, oh, I had no relationship with him, when, of course, he knows what the facts are? So that always sets off red flags for me.
He also has one of the largest, most established foundations on his own.
Yes.
Why would they ever set up a charitable trust benefiting Jeffrey Epstein?
Well, not only does he have the world's largest charitable foundation, but one of their primary missions is to help young women in underprivileged countries. Jeffrey Epstein was preying on young women from Eastern Europe, from South Africa, luring them into his web. It's the antithesis of what the Gates Foundation stands for. And by the way, there were Gates Foundation employees who were horrified when they realized what Jeffrey Epstein had done and was saying, we don't want to have anything to do with this. And yet the project went on.
And what is the Gates explanation for this?
that it was all about philanthropy, that Bill Gates just wanted to find new sources of money.
But you, when you went and met with Jeffrey Epstein a year and a half ago, I read your piece. You knew straight out of the gate something didn't add up. It smelled foul. Bill Gates didn't notice that? One of the smartest guys in the world.
I mean, he's a registered sex offender, and after I rang the doorbell, it opens, and there is a beautiful young woman standing there who I didn't think was 16, but she could have been, you know, 19 or something, and I thought, whoa, a sex offender has a beautiful young woman opening the door. So I didn't even have to go through the door before I realized there's something really weird going on here.
Let's go to your book, because your book is all about weird connections, dark circles, dark corners, the deep state. You sort of lay out the origin of the Russia investigation, but also how people like Bannon, McGahn, and Sessions protected the president from his own impulses. Now that these guys, who have their own issues, aren't there, what's going on inside this White House?
Well, I think you see what's going on. You see all the behavior that we're now witnessing here, both in Syria and with respect to Ukraine, is amply on display in the pages of Deep State. The difference is, you can say what you will about Bannon, McGahn, Sessions, they, and even Corey Lewandowski, they had sense enough not to break the law when the president told them to do it. And what was their reward for that? They get humiliated, they get thrown out, he doesn't listen to them anymore, and he's replaced him with people who won't stop him and won't curb these impulses.
Jen, what's the connection between the Russia investigation and Ukraine?
Well, they're both the results of ridiculously impulsive behavior on Trump's part, and behavior that shows absolutely no awareness of what the rule of law means or how it imposes constraints on the White House. He does what he wants. He has one goal in mind. Is he going to win or lose? He has a binary world. He pays no attention to what it puts through the government, what puts the people through, the government through. He has no one to blame for the Russia investigation but himself. He wasn't a subject, as he himself announced, until he fired Comey. After everyone said, don't do it, he comes in the next day and says, I know you told me not to do this, but I'm doing it anyway. Classic Trump. And now he's doing it in Ukraine. He's doing it in Syria. Everyone tells him, don't do it. He does it.
Hey there, I'm Chris Hayes.
Yes, so this is the man, the philanthropist, who, and you can't sit there and tell me that Bill Gates does not know whom he's dealing with. He's dealing with a man with a wealth, a billionaire. I mean, you're going to do your research. You're going to know what the guy's into. You just are. Okay? Bill Gates is not going to waste his time with just anybody, talking to anybody. That's a fact. So, being seen with Epstein, the late Epstein, was something that happened. I'm looking at tons of photos here online, as a matter of fact, of him hanging out with Epstein. To say that he never did is a lie. So this man is not above lying to the entire world. He's not above it. That is very dangerous, actually. Very dangerous. If you're going to have the capability of lying to the entire world, we don't need to be in global politics, health, even philanthropism. Philanthropy. And so that right there is the evidence. That's the evidence. That's the big one. That is the one that you can't miss. Okay? Epstein, everybody who's remotely questionable has been seen with Epstein. I don't know of any other philanthropists who have been caught in Epstein's web. So, I mean, just take reality for what it is. If you listen to anything these psychopaths are saying, you're not using your eyes. If you're going to use your ears less, that would be the time to do so. And just watch these people. Because they need to be watched. Yeah, you got $1 billion in your pocket. So what's your plans today on running the world with your $1 billion? It behooves you people to ask that question. You can't just have $1 billion and no agenda? Or more? Trillions? You have to have an agenda? I tell you what, there's much better ways of doing philanthropy than what Bill Gates is doing currently. There are much better ways. I can guarantee that. So, I don't know. What do you think about that?
Well, you notice, I can't see anywhere where he gave any money to St. Jude's Hospital that doesn't charge anything to the children who are being treated for cancer. I don't see that. All kinds of things that he doesn't do. Tripping around, with the inoculations that he's supporting and everything. And what I said before in other shows, when I had polio when I was a kid, Dr. Salk came up with the vaccine for that. But it was a straight up and down vaccine. I lived in Shreveport, Louisiana, and kids were dropping like flies. And he synthesized the vaccine, and we stopped dropping like flies. And now what we've got now with the COVID thing is, yeah, we got a vaccine. More companies are coming up with more vaccines, but we're not sure if it's going to work, dudes. We're trying. We're going to try, but we're just not sure if it's going to work and everything. But yet we got this quote-unquote philanthropist who's throwing all this money toward it and everything, and they can't come up with a vaccine where they can say, we're reasonably sure if you take this. Now, there's always going to be people who are allergic. You're going to have things happen, but we're reasonably sure that if we can get most people to take this thing, we might be through this mess. But they're not saying that. They're not saying that at all. They're locking us down a little bit more, a little bit more, a little bit more, and everything. And it, like today, I went and bought an autoloader for my brand new, beautiful Taurus pistol and everything. And there was like two of us in the gun store, and we were wearing masks. And V, we're a bunch of rednecks, okay? And we're sitting there scared of this thing. They've even got us scared. They got us scared. Because what if they're right? What if they're right? Or worse than that, like Kylie likes to say, what if they're engineering the entire thing and we're being suckered in? We're being suckered in, you know? Eventually, one thing I like about you, V, is you fight back. You fight back. You know, that, well, it's all over. We're all dead. They're coming for you and all. It ain't that. No, it ain't that. It's not all over. We're not all dead. And I believe that in the end, the people will win this battle. But it's going to be ugly. We're going to learn a lot. And we're going to learn to control people like FC, Bill Gates, presidents to get out of kilter, stuff like that. Because if we don't, you will get population control because there won't be any of us left.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes, I'm always going to be fighting. As long as there is a fight, I'm going to fight. I'm going to. That's just what it is. We have tyrants in this world, and we have to address that issue. I'm just doing that tonight. I'm pretty sure some of you people have heard these things already. And, well, I mean, do you have it? Now you have. We will go into more in-depth analysis and more in-depth investigations and talk about things that mainstream media will not talk about. Because we cannot ignore this. We cannot let this go by. We cannot let this fly. We simply cannot. So, I'm actually having some battery issues here. I would love it if I were a producer beside Mike. Do you want to pick a song to take us out on? Please go ahead and do so. I don't think this battery error is going to go away, and I think my system's dying. So I want to go ahead and let everybody know, yes, you have been listening to the Red Pill Hardcore Radio Show with me, host B. And remember, in the land of surveillance, man with third eye is king. So please, educate yourselves.
There they go, feminizing men again. Then pretend they don't know when we know it. See no estrogen, exercise the gin. Keynote, lecture with a spin. Meant to get C-notes from end to end. Whoever used canola oil, your soul will boil. For a longer time and take a diet cola to spoil. I get what you're selling. Swelling from alien microfilaments to small killings. Even if you're gelling, what's that in your melon? And what the hell is they spraying? No telling. Barium, strontium, aluminum. Well, drink responsibly, get the tool from dooming them. Can't trust the tap water, much less the kettle. A double entendre to the phrase, test your metal. The rest are settled, just to get fed well. As the living dead infect the red cell. Don't drink the milk, it's spoiled. The blood and stuff in it make it stink, wise boil. Snake oil sales, doorbell doctors, slip Mickeys. Trick you to strip to get gypped quickly. Kick me, you know it's getting worse. No help being upset, starting to curse first. Better off with a good sense of humor. Research, know what's the truth instead of rumor. Your partner doom is who will ride, or either do or die, like farmer suicide, chew your pride. Might as well start a mountain pro boxing, and force feeding them toddler food laced with excitotoxin. They did it like the funky worm, enough to make a chunky squirm, mice making monkey sperm, or rice infused with diarrhea drugs. Wonder why his hair well shrugged, hell yeah it's bugged, and it gets bugged about a minute. Question, will the Franken fools kill us? Or turn us into things off Thriller? Or dang gorillas? Breeds of a needless variety. In the name of greed, we get a seedless society. Flounder jeans in your tomatoes. Cod in your potatoes. Playing God retarded than Play-Doh. And as the juice gets sweeter, no use in being cute if you're a useless heater. Make it hard to keep your mattress clean. That was mean. Little froggies with sex changes from atrazine and aspartame and gum. Splendor is plenty fun. Left many strung. Agenda 21. I had your third eye cry or your side blown. Ride on. Forgot to sign the guidestone. Yours truly, all caps doom. Sue 'em if you're gloomy or boom to your tomb.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, Koshertify, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the CoCertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.